Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. This is a sound check session from our archives. Those archives go back 20 years, but this session is slightly more recent. It's from 2016.
My aching brain doesn't process things the same. At 30 muscles fade, but in 20 years I've barely changed.
This is Sound Check. I'm John Schaefer. The band called Into It, Over It is the work of Evan Weiss, a Chicago-based singer and songwriter. The name, Into It, Over It, seems like a perfect commentary on the way the blogosphere rushes to proclaim something the next big thing, only to rush on to something else the next week. Weiss is in this for the long haul, though. As Into It, Over It, he's released 3 full-length albums and a host of side projects. His latest album is called Standards, a somewhat misleading title since there isn't a Frank Sinatra or Tony Bennett song to be found. Instead, there are songs like this one called Open Casket in a live performance by Into It, Over It's Evan Weiss, live on Soundcheck.
Friends from where I'm from are all a wreck, hanging high up on a horse, hanging heavy from their old routines. They wake up still uninspired but no regrets, hungover and divorced. They torch their 20s like it's kerosene, carrying on and on. I can't decide, should I stay or sleep outside? A look of sheer distress from left to right. High up on a noose, hanging heavy from a guillotine. The wake would go unattended, no respects, but I'd feel better as a corpse than a boring, bitter living thing. So I'm carrying on and on. I can't decide, should I stay or sleep outside? The look of sheer distress from left to right. Showed up late per usual, but you wore my favorite dress. And then there's me, as always, just a mess. Just like always, I'm just a mess. Friends from where I'm from are all a wreck. Friends from where I'm from are all a wreck.
Cool.
That is Evan Weiss, live in the Soundcheck studio. The song is called Open Casket, and you will find it on the latest album by Evan's band, Into It, Over It. The album is called Standards, and Evan is here playing solo. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Although drummer Josh Sparks is here with us as well.
Absolutely.
Also, glad to be here.
All right. I'm sure you've seen all the commentaries on the name of the band and how it's, you know, it's like he's talking about emo, you know, he was into it and now he's over it. It always seemed to me like it was a broader kind of name than that.
The band name came from the first thing I ever did with Into It Over It was a project called 52 Weeks. And so I wrote, recorded, and released one song every week for an entire year. And that was, it was only supposed to be those 52 songs. It was supposed to end after that. Like, I was just going to move on and play in a new band or do whatever. And, but when the project was over, you know, the name is in reference to being into something for about 6 days, and then you have to switch gears and you're over it. You have to, you know, figure out something else.
The way the internet works.
Exactly. Well, or at least songwriting works. And so, a record label, you know, some year and a half after the project was over, approached me about releasing it. They pressed it on CD, and it was kind of like, well, now that the record's out, I guess I should kind of start playing shows. And so I played a couple shows here and there, and then I joined another band, toured with them for a year. And when that kind of fell apart, decided to revisit it. It's like, well, I got these songs and a box of CDs in my car. Like, I should probably do something about it. And then the kind of project just took off from there.
Yeah. Now, the song you just played for us, Open Casket, not so different from the version that appears on the record.
Yeah, no, not totally different at all.
Have you long been into fingerstyle guitar? I mean, there's almost a Nick Drake character to that song.
I will gladly accept that compliment. yeah, I mean, I think I never took lessons. So for me, learning how to play the guitar was strictly just me kind of figuring it out. And that was a big part of discovering open tuning, was because when you aren't the most confident guitar player, it's a lot easier to figure out some things you want to play. I always attribute it to kind of like cheating, kind of. You know, it's like I used to play in this band where the whole band played in open tuning, and if the joke was that if you messed up, you could just strum the guitar, no one would know. You could just fake it. And
for folks who aren't guitarists, open tuning means that the guitar is tuned so that if you do strum all six strings, you get a nice
chord.
D major or G major. What are you in?
This one is, well, with the capo on, this is an E major now. So it's open E. So if I just strum the guitar, it'd be an E chord.
Right. As opposed to the normal tuning of the guitars, which is a mix of fourths and fifths.
Yeah. But, you know, in more recent years, I've gotten really, really attracted to guitar players like Michael Hedges or William Ackerman or Don Ross, you know, these people who are...
Can I tell you that Will Ackerman also started with a pile of not CDs, but LPs in his car, and that was why he started Windham Hill Records.
Yeah.
He needed a way to sell his, the stuff
Turtle,
that he had
Turtle's
made.
Navel, man. You gotta get rid of him.
Wow. Man, now that's a title I have not heard in a good 30 years. Very good, Evan.
But so that's been a big attraction to that style of guitar playing, and it's also testing myself as a musician. I think for both Josh and I, we really love writing songs, but at the same time, we want to continue to push ourselves creatively with what we can physically do.
Right.
And that is what makes playing our instruments so exciting, is seeing how far we can push our physical ability and also still be learning things about the instruments that we're playing, instead of just getting to a certain point in our creative ability and then just stopping and being like, well, this is good enough. You know, I think if...
Your comfort zone.
Exactly. Yeah. I think if we got to a point where we didn't feel like we were continued being pushed, we would probably just quit.
Well, you know, to me, one of the distinctive sounds of the record, apart from the guitar, Josh, is your drumming, which is why we heard a little bit of No EQ coming in.
Yeah.
Because there's like this super propulsive drumming throughout that song. How did the songwriting process happen between the two of you with this album?
Well, so we, Josh had been playing in the band for about 2.5 years before we started working on the record. You know, we'd kind of worked on some stuff in Chicago and it was okay, but it hadn't really found its rhythm yet. And I think a lot of it was because there was a lot of distraction in Chicago at the time. You know, we were playing in other bands and we were, you know, Josh was working a pretty full-time job and it was, we were pretty consumed with a lot of other things that were happening. And so we discussed what would be the best way for us to build that lexicon with each other, and we decided that maybe going to a cabin or going to a remote location would be a better idea. Plus, it's something we've always wanted to do. I think it was like a really...
Absolutely.
You hear about bands doing
fantastical that. Idea, you know?
Yeah, like it's kind of something out of the norm, and bands do it, and there's a reason why a lot of bands do it, and it's because it's exciting. It's fun to be able to isolate yourself and just focus on your craft instead of thinking about everything else that's going on. So... we holed up in a town called Craftsbury, Vermont for 30 days. And in that time, we were probably playing music at, I want to say, maybe 9 to 11 hours a day. And between, you know, making meals for each other and working on, like, puzzles and,
and so there
shoveling
was
snow. And
there was a little bit of a curve. Evan had gone to the cabin 6 days earlier to, like, really hash out and finalize some material. So as he's doing that, I'm, like, listening to these demos on my iPhone and... kind of formulating ideas of like what we might be able to work on. And I'd also like woodshedded a few, you know, beats, had a few tricks in the bag, and then it was just a matter of seeing where ends meet.
So You had a drum kit there in the cabin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we brought one up. We brought a lot of our gear up there so we could really get
this involved. Sounds... I mean, I can hear the movie trailer. Two men went into a cabin. 30 days later...
Only one remains.
Both come out. How did that happen?
There were plenty of jokes about it being like The Shining, like, you know, where it was going to be... You were going to go into my room writing lyrics and it was just going to be, you know, like all work and no play. Maybe.
Yeah, or like neither of us were going to come out and it's just going to be this hidden record of murder ballads. Yeah. You know? It's like, well, they never left the cabin, but there's all these hours of recordings in the basement.
But then you had to actually, once you've written the song, now you have to actually make the record.
Totally.
And for that, you worked with John Vanderslice.
Yes.
Who is, you know, a producer whose name keeps coming up, works totally analog, right?
Completely. So. I had no idea when I talked to him. A couple people had also independently of each other referred us to John. They were like, you should really do this record with John. So I get on the phone with John and we have this amazing phone call and he completely understands where Josh and I are coming from and knows exactly what we're looking for and how we want the record to sound, loves the demos and is like excited to work on the record, which is such a huge thing for a band when a producer wants to do it. And I'm like, you know, I'm on the phone. I'm like, man, he's the guy. John's the guy. And it gets to the end of the call and he's like, well, actually, but I just got to let you know, I don't do anything to computer. This is going to be a tape if you do this record here. And this is the setup and you don't have a choice. And it was the perfect fit. He's the only person I made a record with that I want to do another one with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
High praise.
The record is Standards. It's the latest from Intuit Over It, Evan Weiss and Josh Sparks from the band here in the studio, although only Evan is playing. And this next song... you were telling me before we went on mic that there's like multiple versions of this one, probably because of the process you were describing.
You know, we wrote a demo that was, most of the demos that we had were just one guitar and drums. And we went to record this song and there was just something missing. It just didn't feel right. Something felt a little off or a little awkward. We couldn't get the guitars to sit correctly. And it got down to the wire. Josh had already left. He wasn't there for like the last 4 or 5 days of tracking. So he leaves and I'm still not happy with the song. John's not happy with the song. We can't figure it out. And finally, within the last like 24 to 48 hours of the tracking process, we figured out that the answer was to just take out the entire bridge and exchange it with these kind of swirling feedback effects. But there was a whole bridge written for the song that was on guitar. And as a solo song, I can still play the bridge and it sounds really nice. But
So this is a case where the solo performance is a...
Isn't oh, like the yeah,
it's
isn't
a
like
pretty
the
different song.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely from like minute two to minute three.
Yeah. All right, well, let's. You want to play it for us?
Yeah, and I've actually never done this before, so let's see how it works.
All right, Evan Weiss, Intuit Over It is the band. Standards is the name of the most recent album. This song is on it. It's called "Who You Are Does Not Equal Where You Are," and let's hear a solo performance live here in the Soundcheck studio.
Made a list of everything you did and said, then I hung my goddamn head. Sorry, wheel said this was a bad idea. Less intent for your temper. Poor excuse to leave your old New York home for the Midwest glow. Well, you are not the form. You aren't where your head rests. The truth is no personal touch made it all too much. So low, so you left here all alone. All recalled you so low. So you left here all alone. It's all your fault. Made a list of everything you did and said, then I shook my head. Reduced to fit the form, you aren't where his head rests. But while we moved on to figure you out, you just ran your mouth. So low, so you left here all alone. All recalled you so low. So you left here all told, all alone. It's so your fault.
There you go. This was a bad idea.
Yes, that's supposed to go out. Can't always grab it, you know? Can't always grab it.
Evan Weiss, live on Soundcheck, and Who You Are Does Not Equal Where You Are, which is from the latest album by his band, Into It, Over It. The album is called Standards, and both Evan Weiss and Josh Sparks from the band here with us on Soundcheck. And it does seem like, you know, a number of these songs have a kind of sense of people in transition or people who've passed a milestone, maybe a 30th birthday and are seeing their 20s in the rearview mirror, that kind of thing.
I think that's a pretty transitional time. Like when when you're between the ages of like 27 and 35, probably a lot, you and a lot of the people around you are going through a lot of transitional phases. And yeah, I mean, I decided I wanted to do this at 25. I was working at a desk up until that point, like all my early 20s and late teens. So,
but always dreaming of that Vermont cabin.
I mean, we've talked about it now.
30 days in the snow with Josh Sparks.
I don't think we could do it again another way. Like we were already talking about writing the next one. Like, where are we going to go now? It's like, where's the new remote place we can visit this time?
Hawaii's nice.
Yeah. Wyoming's pretty wild.
That's what we were talking about doing. Yeah. Like complete, like either that or like in the middle of the desert, just something completely barren and isolating, which would be perfect for the two of us.
So why the title Standards?
The title kind of took on a life of its own later. The original idea was to write an album completely in standard tuning, which I'd never done. And that was the original idea, and it got maybe like 2.5 songs into that process. I was like, man, this sucks. I hate this. Like, I'm not a fan of these songs. I don't like playing a guitar like this. Like, you know, I don't like these chord structures. I was just really unhappy with the material, so I bailed on that. And it was just kind of the working title for a long time. We didn't actually settle in on it until after the entire record was over, when we realized, or at least I realized that, I don't think we ever discussed this, but I feel like the name kind of plays into the entire process of making the record. Like taking the time to go somewhere to work and write a record. Taking the time to go to San Francisco and make an album to tape that never saw a computer, that was completely made by us in real time. All of the sounds are us playing single takes with the sounds that we got at the time. Taking the time to come up with an art layout that was very well done and well put together, not thrown together, not rushed, very carefully planned. Taking the time to make sure that the rollout for the record was done properly. And then also, with that, there were like personal aspects to that recording experience that really shaped a lot of outlook that Josh and I have now about like eating better, about not drinking alcohol anymore, about, trying to be healthier as you get into an older age. And I think the whole experience taught us a lot about ourselves and about how to be better people, take care of ourselves a little more, and also hold the process that of something that we are doing for a living with a certain level of standards.
Definitely.
And I feel like that title kind of wound up finding the record in a really unique and organic way.
Yeah.
And
I mean, the word appears in one song.
Two songs, actually.
Yeah. In Old Lace and Ivory.
And in Bible Black. That's the other
one. Bible Black, right. Now, is that a reference to the Dylan Thomas Under Milkwood?
Yes.
Starless and Bible Black?
It was a book on the bookshelf of the person who that song is about.
Beside the weight of your tears, I can say I'd spend the night on my side below, on your queen size set of standards, with my single set of signs. Most power in the apartment.
Now, you mentioned the packaging, and, you know, especially with the LP, the vinyl version,
yeah.
There's like this set of prints,
yeah.
That, and there's one for each track, right?
Mm-hmm. Josh's now girlfriend, her name is Hutch. She does. You can explain this.
Yeah, she does needlepoint and hand embroidery under the moniker Tiny Cup, and. We were kind of connecting around the time that the record was in the process of being written, and Evan brought up the idea of getting Hutch involved with the artwork, and then they got together and hashed out concepts. And then I think from there, this is where you can switch back to the actual, like, each symbol being a symbol for a song and, like, kind of correlating with lyrical concepts. And,
yeah.
Yeah. It's also, you know, the open-tuning finger-picking guitar, the analog recording, the needlepoint. It's all very... pre-internet.
Yeah, well, that's how
it's
we are.
It's all very kind of, well, very kind of 20th century.
That's kind of our style. That's the music I listen to. And I, you know, you do interviews, frankly, a lot when you release a record. And one of the main questions is like, what new bands are you listening to? And I haven't had a good answer. I'm like, I don't know. Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers circa 1965. Like,
I get subconscious when people ask that too, because I've been listening to the same records for literally like the last 6 months now.
My answer hasn't changed. I'm listening to, yeah. Like, you know, as if, you know, we were talking about you know, Past Light or Aerial Boundaries, you know, like these Michael Hedges records. Like, that's what, there hasn't been an LP played in my apartment with vocals on it in months, you know? You're involved in music so deeply, modern music so deeply, and you see so many bands, and you participate in so many shows, and you're being bombarded with this content that is current.
Right.
And I've done that. I've bought those records. I've listened to those bands, and I've seen those things. And, you know, like...
You made one of them every week for
right, exactly, yeah. And so now I'm trying to find music that I haven't heard before, stuff yeah. that I'm not familiar with, stuff that I haven't been involved with, or new genres, or things that are, like, foreign to me.
Well, I think there also becomes an interest in, like, expansion of process, too, you know? It's like when we were younger and just starting to tour a lot, the appeal of a band like Fugazi is, like, immediate because, like, they were on the road. Like, they were touring, and, like, I could relate to that so much.
And it's angry, and it's visceral, and it's exciting. You know, it's like how I feel. I'm young, and yeah. I'm angry, and I'm, you know, like, I don't know why. I can't yeah. explain it.
And 2 minutes, and it's over.
Yeah, and that headspace yeah. changes, and you want to attach yourself to something that has the same kinetic energy that you share, and sometimes that's Michael Hedges.
Yeah, sometimes that's Harold Love, Brian Eno, yeah. Plateau of the Mirror. Yeah. You know, like, that's... You just want to lay on your couch and bliss out and not think about all the things that are troubling you in your life. You just want to relax and enjoy something beautiful. And
I got to tell you, I was in my 20s and I was seriously into Plateaus of Mirror, the Harold Budd, Brian Eno, and Michael Hedges. And you don't have to be...
No, but
you kids get off my lawn, you know? You don't have to be at that stage.
I'm not trying to polarize
yeah,
it
yeah,
either, you know?
This isn't about me, like, versus you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got... If I was younger in the 80s, those would probably be the things I would have found when I was younger, yeah, you know, and I grew up in a house that was full of punk and new wave. That was the house, that was what my parents raised me on, was the Police and Tears for Fears and Blondie and, you know, Talking Heads. Those were the things that I was growing up with in my house. And so getting older, that it's almost as if it's like this, like a Freudian thing, you know, like I'm sensing the influence of these groups on the stuff that I was into as a child. And, you know, that's my attraction returns to that. It's like how people want to date their mom, you know, or like I want to date these
yeah.
influences.
From
yeah.
Yep.
Hmm. Am I just rambling now?
Well, the conversation took a strange little twist there when you started talking about dating your mom. But, shall we hear another song? We're speaking with Evan Weiss and Josh Sparks of the band Into It, Over It. Evan is performing solo, unplugged, here in the Soundcheck studio. Standards is the name of the latest album from the band, Intuit, Over It. Let's hear a song called Anesthetic. Evan's going to tune up the guitar and give us another live solo performance here in the Soundcheck studio.
Your plates are mine, my reflection in the window won't reply. Conveniently replacing the steps that I've been taking, carefully curating life. Is the bed half empty or half full? Not that I should apologize. I've worked my whole life for the peace of mind to die alone, for some fate I can make my own. Never up to date. See, some things never change. Not for lack of aiming. Fundamentals never sway. Doubt shoots down the reasons in my way. Is the bed half empty or half full? Not that I should apologize. I've worked my whole life for the peace of mind to die alone, for some fate I can make my own.
Evan Weiss from the band Intuit Over It, live, solo, unplugged, here in the Soundcheck studio on a song called Anesthetic. You'll find it on the latest Intuit Over It record. The album is called Standards. It also features some nifty drumming from Josh Sparks.
It's
who has also been with, what was that?
Unbelievable drum.
I love nifty as an adjective.
Nifty's
though.
Good.
I really
we're going
like
to take
nifty.
That.
It's yeah. better than lazy, which was my other choice, given the fact that here you are sitting literally 2 feet from a full drum kit, but choosing not to touch it.
Well, you can touch it if you want.
Context is everything.
Get in there
really.
And touch yeah. it, man.
Guys, this has been a lot of fun having you here in the studio. Great job with the record.
Thank you.
The writing, the recording, the needlepoint, all of it. It's a great package.
Spent a lot of time on
it's
it.
Beautiful.
We appreciate you, Sam.
Standards is the name of it. The latest from Intuit Over It. Thanks very much.
Yeah. Appreciate you.
Extracted, encrypted, you've changed the box.
That Soundcheck session came from our archives. You can hear lots more and check out our newly produced remote sessions on our website, newsounds.org.
Our technical director is Irene Trudell, our producer, Karen Havlick, and I'm John Schaefer. First time.